يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah, and whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. And testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. Worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. After this, I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And inshallah, today we are going to have continuation to our previous class from Riyad al-Salihin, and this related to chapter number 183 which talks about the excellency of reciting certain verses, or the superiority of and the encouragement towards reciting some specific verses and surah from the Quran. And today inshallah we have a new hadith, which is hadith number 1018, and the hadith is reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, la taj'alu buyutakum maqabir, inna ash-shaytana ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. رواه مسلم. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, what the meaning is, do not convert your houses into graveyards. Shaitan runs away from the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. Next hadith, which 1019, reported by Abu Ubay ibn Ka'b, may Allah be pleased with him, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا المنذر أتدري أي آية من كتاب الله معك أعظم؟ قلت الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. فضرب في صدري وقال ليهنئك العلم. أبا المنذر. رواه مسلم. Narrated Ubay ibn Ka'b, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O Abu al-Munzir, do you know which verse in Allah's book is the greatest? I replied, it is Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He, the ever living. Surah number 2, verse number 200 to 256. Thereupon hereupon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam poked me in my chest and said, "Felicitation to you for this knowledge, O Abu Munzir." Now we go to the explanation by Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. This ahadith is part of the chapter concerning reciting certain verses and surahs from the Quran, which is the author Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh is saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam recorded to say in the hadith, "Don't turn your houses to be a graveyard." The scholar says the meaning of this, that don't neglect of performing salah in your houses, i.e. another word, he say, pray in your houses. He say the house will be named as a graveyard when no salah in it, that because there is no salah in the graveyard, neither it is acceptable. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us in the other hadith that the whole earth is a mosque with exception of the graveyard and the bathroom. And also the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, don't pray towards the graves, neither you supposed to sit on it. Therefore the grave is not a place for performing the prayer, regardless if this prayer optional prayer or obligatory prayer. Neither is supposed to even to make one prostration there. As example, if somebody reciting Quran and there is a surah to prostrate, or you want to prostrate for being thankful to Allah, whatever occasion, that means you are not supposed to do a salah there, neither a part of the salah. Not any salah, not optional salah, not obligatory salah, not anything of the salah. Only in one exception, if a person performs janazah prayer in the grave, will be acceptable. If this is before burying the person or after burying the person. But if it's after the burial, not to be in the time which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited the people to perform the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us in this hadith that the shaitan runs away from the house which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it. The shaitan doesn't enter a house which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited in it, that because Surah Al-Baqarah has Ayatul Kursi in it. And the next hadith which reported by Ka'b, may Allah be pleased with him, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had questioned him about the greatest verse in the book of Allah. So he said Ayatul Kursi. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed this information by his word and his action. That mean what you said, that is correct. Because Ayatul Kursi is consists a 10 of Allah's qualities and attributes and names. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. And this is the tawheed and the most important part of the ibadah. And the meaning of la ilaha illa huwa, that means it's no true God to be worshipped except Him Almighty. So anything that worship other than Allah is false God and false deity. Even if the people call it God, because it's only a label, a name that they made it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give any authority for those people to be gods or deity. And also Allah mentioned His name there, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, the one who's complete and perfect in his living and his being Qayyum and in charge of self-subsistence. He's complete and perfect in his life because he was not dead before and after this became to be alive. So was no end for Allah, or was no So the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a beginning, neither it has an end. That because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first without beginning, and He's the last without end. As Allah had stated in Surah Ar-Rahman, كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام, that everything on the existence of this earth will be perish, and the only thing will be remaining is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows you the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deficiency of the creation, because all the creation will come to end and destruction and death, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of these things touch Him. So it shows you the perfection of Allah and the completion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other living things has deficiency. Look to your own life. As example, look to your hearing. You don't hear everything, neither you can see everything. And also our health get interrupted by sickness and illness. So all these things shows us that we are living, but our living has interruption and deficiency. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the perfect and the complete in His living. And Al-Qayyum means the self-subsistence. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without anything else to support Him or to keep Him going. He doesn't need anyone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from needs from all the alameen. And He said, إِنْ تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ وَإِنْ تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you disbelieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from you. Allah doesn't need you. Although that Allah doesn't allow or love disbelief, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and would like to see you to be grateful. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Hadith of Qudsi, what the meaning is, Ya ibadi, innakum lan tablughu durri fatadurruni, ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. Oh my slaves, you could not attain my harm to harm me, neither you can attain my benefit to benefit me with anything. So this shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stand in his own. He doesn't need anything. Everything else is depend on Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't depend on anybody. Also, he explained about Allah's quality that لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. A sinner is a slumber, and a nawm is a sleep which is known to everybody. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, no slumber takes him, nor a sleep. All the human beings, they are in need for rest, for taking a nap, to go to sleep, regardless you choose so or you don't choose so, regardless how much you will fight the sleep, eventually sooner or later you're going to sleep. As it came in the authentic hadith, indeed Allah doesn't sleep, neither it fits with His Majesty to go to sleep. This is impossible for Allah to sleep. That because his life is perfect and complete. Who is going to take in charge of the people if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to sleep? No one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no slumber or sleep takes him. The next hadith, which also reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he stated that وَكَّلَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِحِفْظِ زَكَاةِ رَمَضَانِ فَأَتَانِي آت فَجَعَلَ يَحْصُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ فَأَخَذْتُ فَقُلْتُ لَأَرْفَعَنَّكَ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قال إني محتاج وعلي عيال وبي حاجة شديدة وعيال فرحمته فخليت سبيله فقال أما إنه قد كذبك وسيعود فعرفت أنه سيعود لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرصدته فجاء يحسو من الطعام فقلت لأرفعنك إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال دعني فإني محتاج وعلي عيال لا أعود فرحمته فخليت سبيله فأصبحت فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا هريرة ما فعل أسيرك البارحة قلت يا رسول الله شكى حاجة وعيالا فرحمته فخليت سبيله فقال إنه قد كذبك وسيعود فرصدته الثالثة فجاء يحسن من الطعام فأخذته فقلت لأرفعنك إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا آخر ثلاث مرات أنك تزعم أنك لا تعود ثم تعود فقال دعني فإني أعلمك كلمات ينفعك الله بها قلت ما هن قال إذا أويت إلى فراشك فاقرأ آية الكرسي فإنه لا يزال لن يزال عليك من الله حافظ ولا يقربك شيطان حتى تصبح فخليت سبيله فأصبحت فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما فعل أسيرك البارحة قلت يا رسول الله زعم أنه يعلمني كلمات ينفعني الله بها فخليت سبيله قال ما هي قلت قال لي إذا أويت إلى فراشك فقرأ آية كرسي من أولها حتى تختم الآية الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وقال لي لا يزال عليك من الله حافظ ولن يقربك شيطان حتى تصبح فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أما إنه قد صدقك وهو كذوب، تعلم من تخاطب منذ ثلاث يا أبا هريرة؟ قلت: لا. قال: ذاك شيطان. رواه البخاري. narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam entrusted me with the charge of charity Ramadan, sadaqat al-fitr. Somebody came to me and began to take away some food stuff. I caught him and I said, I must take you out. I must take you to Allah's messenger. He said, I am a needy man with a large family under my charge, and so I have a pressing need. I let him go. When I saw Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked me, Oh Abu Huraira, what did your captive do last night? I said, Oh messenger of Allah, he complained of a pressing need and a big family. I felt pity for him, and so I left him go. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he told you a lie, and he will soon return. I was sure, according to the saying of Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would soon return. I waited for him. He sneaked up again and began to steal foodstuff from the sadaqah. I caught him and said, I must take you to Allah's messenger. He said, spare me, as I am needy man. I have to bear expenses of a big family. I shall not come again. So I took pity on him and let him go. I went at dawn to Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who asked me, Oh Abu Huraira, what did your captive do last night? I replied, Oh messenger of Allah, he complained of a pressing need, want, and the burden of a big family. I took pity on him, and so I let him go. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he told you a lie, and he will soon return. That man came again to steal the food stuff. I arrested him and I said, I must take you to Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the last of three times. You promised that you would not come again, but you have come. He said, leave me, I shall teach you some words with which Allah may give you benefit. I asked, what are those words? He replied, when you go to bed, recite Ayatul Kursi, Surah 2, verse number 255. For it will be a guardian over you from Allah, and Shaitan not be able to approach you till morning. So I let him go. Next morning, Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, how did your prisoners behave last night? I answered, he promised to teach me some words which he claimed will benefit me before Allah, so I let him go. Allah's messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, what are those words that he taught you? I said, he told me, when you go to your bed, recite Ayatul Kursi, the beginning to the end. Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but He. I'm going to pause for a minute, I'm sorry. Somebody want to burn his property, he could not do this, although that is his property. So even what we even our position and what we claim that we own it, we did not have 100% freedom to do whatever we want to do with it. As example, we are not have the right to gamble with our money or deal with riba with our money, because it's haram. Therefore, our ownership is limited and restricted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ownership is not limited and does not have any condition on it. And he say, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is that can intercede before Allah without his permission? So his question, but is negating the fact that mean that no one, doesn't matter whosoever that person, can intercede before Allah without Allah giving him a permission first. The shafa'a or intercession, that means mediation, somebody to mediate between two, to bring something good to one or to elevate some harm that can happen to this one. As it happened with the kings and the president in this life, so somebody will go and ask them after they get a permission, and present to him his case. Even the great kings, you found as example sometimes that his wife, she will go and ask him to do so and so for so and so, or let so and so go, or whatever it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us about himself that no one can intercede, no one can ask benefit for somebody or try to elevate harm from somebody without Allah giving him previously permission. Even the best people and the most closer to him, as example the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the day of judgment he could not intercede unless he asked Allah the permission first, which he will go and prostrate a long sujood. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire him with some phrases that he praised Allah with it. And after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will permit him. The people, he knows about their future, their past, their present, everything. Allah doesn't know only about our past, what we did, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ the future, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ their past. To some people they know what had happened in the past, but no one can tell you what's going to happen in the future. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying that يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ their future, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ that means their past. And this shows you the perfection and the completion of Allah, his knowledge. His knowledge covers the past, the present, the future. As example, if I ask somebody about our lecture now that we've given after Asr, is it before us or after us? What I just finished is past, and what I'm about to say is the future, and what is now is the present. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he already knew what I said and what I'm going to say after I stop now. This shows you this knowledge of Allah is complete, is perfect. Also, we have to understand that there is many things that we don't know. Later on, we get to learn about it. So, now we are ignorant about it. But when we learn it, now we know it. So, even the knowledge that we have has some defect. Because we... because our knowledge also, it has defect that we forget certain things. You see? So, our knowledge, even the knowledge that we have, it has a problem. So sometimes we don't know certain things, and even what we know, sometimes we forget. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forget, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the best as well as the future, everything. So this shows you the greatness of this surah and some of the benefit of this verse, Ayatul Kursi 255. Inshallah, we're going to stop here because we still have more to talk about the verses of this verse. We continue with this later on. It's time for my other class, Quranic class. I have to go. I'm grateful for your time, and inshallah we try to proceed with it next week. Jazakumullah khairan for listening, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. I bought my stuff. I left it there. I bought my stuff.